אשתו, שאלו אותו.
Yes.
I believe you're the first to arrive.
Okay.
I always like to ask after Rosh Chodesh, did you learn something new?
I'm sorry, you kind of broke up.
I always like to ask after Rosh Chodesh, did you learn something new?
Well, it's not that I learned something new, but something that you had before with the four yods meant more to me this year, and I could link it to the 515 prayer that I did months back, and sins written on your bones, and how to take care of that. So how do I answer?
Deeper Baruch Hashem. My question is incorrect. Did you learn something deeper is what I should ask.
Well, I think something deeper is something new too, so combination.
Yes. I believe somebody else came on, so welcome.
Yes.
So,
Gabriella, yes. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute because, you know, I have a passenger in my house. Okay.
I understand.
I'm muting.
Okay. We'll wait another few seconds and then we'll start. Just giving more people an opportunity to join. Please join in and saying the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati Berura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yudat Tzadi. Please scan the angels of the day, since today is Yom Echad. Kaberinat Amchasad Beinu Tahareinu Deora Ufreshayim Sinti. The six letters spell the two Hebrew words, Ka-Satan, Terap-Satan, and they can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar-Katan, small gates, and reminding us to guard our gates. The eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. Na-Gibor, Dor-She-Yehud-Ha, Ke-Va-Vat. Sham Reim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Taf Shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, spell of a gematria 57, which is the Hebrew word Zan, Zion Nun, which translates as Parnasa, sustenance. Yud Taf Shin is a healing sequence. It allows us to take out of our body any part of the body that needs to be healed. And when we take it out, we can restore it, rejuvenate it, heal it, and then put it back in the body as it was meant to be, as it is meant to be used within the body in its perfect state. Barchim tacharim Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzaditaf Gimel. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Netzach and its essence of eternal victory, eternity. Pasim Kadosh Erov Tuvcha Nael Adata Et Kufet Et Nunayan. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness, humility. Yahid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Ezayin Kuf. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Yesod and its essence of creativity, creation, sexuality, channel for Shefa. The letters of the month, for the month of Sivan, the Resh, it created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion, it created the constellation Teumim, the Gemini. Together, Resh and Zion spell the Hebrew word Raz, which translates as secret. Since it is Rosh Chodesh, please permutate the letters with me. Yo, ah, hey, hey, yo, ah, hey, hey. Yo, ah, hey, hey, yo, ah, hey, hey. Yo, ah, hey, hey. Yo, ah, hey, hey, yo, ah, hey, hey. Yo, ah, hey, hey. Shavatenu kabel, ushma tziyakatenu, yodea. Talumo Shin Kufal Sadidita. The sequence connects to the physical world, to the Malchut, to the manifestation state. The energy of this current year, 5780, as a revealed energy of compensation and a concealed energy of Shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying one of the verses in the Tanakh that connects to both energies. Today we are studying Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 2. We ata ben adam hatishpo hatishpo etir hadamim hodata et koho avoteha. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'amili Israel undati v'shakam takta willo yirgaz od willo yosifu. Vene avla la anoto ta ashevarishoda. We will now connect to the 72 names of God. The way we do that is to say each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe, wahe. keita ta hezayo ala da la awa heha yozala me be he reyo he tome ba awa kala yo la wa wa pe he la mula ha yo 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 me la he he wa Muta hey hey ah ah yo re ta shi ah hey re yo yo ah wa me la ka be wa shi re yo hey wa la hey hey la wa ko me nu da anu yo hey ah me re hey ah yo yo za hey 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 me yo ha wa 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 la yo la hey. Sa'ala reyo ashila meyo he wahe wa danu yo he he shi ame me yunu a niyo ta me be he pe wa yo yu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo la me be me nu ko Ayo ah hey be wa, re ah hey yo be me, hey yo yo me wa me. And now we will connect to the 72 names revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tools. The same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be to e a me me be shi la yo hey anu a kameta hey hey yo anu da la hey wa hey me a yo ta la me re hey hey yo yo hey hey me wa 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 ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo hey yo me nu hey 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 wa Nu yo hey hey shi ah yo re ta shi ah hey re la yo ah wa me la yo be wa hey re yo yo wa la hey hey ka ato me nu da anu yo hey wa me re hey ah yo hey za hey shi hey me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la re yo. A la me ta he, wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me, nu he ha nu wa ta me la he pe a yo, nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re, wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo, da me he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Hey la hey yo yo me hey la yo me hey me. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Rabbi Meir Halevi Horowitz, Rabbi Avraham Menachem Halevi Steinberg, Rabbi Eliezer David Greenwald, Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro of Chaminka Koritz, Rabbi Alexander Sender Lynchner, Rabbi Aaron Yechiel Lefer, Rabbi Mordechai Don Waldman. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Our class today can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix or under the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, the the link that is the unique astrological times. When the unique astrological times opens up, scroll down to preparation for Shavuot or study for Shavuot. This is what our class is today. We will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bitkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu le'akta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah Vayino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kanenehu. Shavuot is the gift of the Torah, Matan Torah. We receive this gift every year on Shavuot. We receive this gift on Shavuot again. For the first time, we are now transferring to another link from the unique astrological times. It's titled Immortality in Mount Sinai. The energy of Shavuot is immortality. It's Bila Hamavet Lanetzah, swallowing death eternally. Reading from the second paragraph. Before my entry into the world of Kabbalah in 1962, I was a traditional observant Jew. I observed the Jewish holiday known as Shavuot in the Orthodox manner. This holiday, which commemorates the giving of the Esser Dibrot, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Utterances, required that we study biblical or Talmudic texts all night until dawn, at which time we would pray and then go to sleep. This was the way I had observed Shavuot from the age when I was first capable of staying awake all night. As I understood then, it was customary to observe the holiday in commemoration of the physical event on Mount Sinai. The reason for studying was to display our connection to that event, and that was all there was to it. It was a traditional observance with no particular personal meaning for me. My commentary. There are many Orthodox manners of praying and celebrating Shavuot. Many of these include staying up all night on the night of Shavuot. To my knowledge, only the Kabbalistic custom in Minhag and the Sephardic Minhag utilize the Zohar discussion about the crowns of the Shekhinah. The crowns of the Shekhinah are two-letter Hebrew sequences that come from each book of the Tanakh. As we read on this, will become more familiar to us. Continuing. The reader may then imagine how shocked and confused I was when I experienced my first Kabbalistic Shavuot with my master and my teacher, Rav Yehuda Brandwein. What seemed to be practicing and observing the holiday, just as I had since childhood. It was truly a revelation to me, however, to learn the why of the event. This was the explanation of the revelation event and what it was meant to do for me today, 3,400 years later. I really could not believe my ears. My master, my teacher, first reminded me that anyone who referred to this holiday as the commemoration of the giving of the Esser Dibrot, the Ten Commandments, or the initiation of a new religion, specifically Judaism, was mistaken. Furthermore, he continued, the entire tradition omitted the most significant aspect. When I heard him say this, I was trembling. What had high and all of Jewry for throughout the millenniums missed? I had been steeped in the religious observance of this event and believed I had been taught all there was to know about the Ten Commandments. First, he began, never again refer to the event as the Lord's gift of the Ten Utterances, the Ten Commandments. There was no event that signified commandments. My commentary. I am taking an aside and explaining what is not being said about the concept of commandments. A command is the translation of the word mitzvah. In Hebrew, the word mitzvah, mem tzadi vav hey, has two shorashim, two roots. One is command, tzadi vav. This leaves the letters that spell the words ma, mem and hey. Ma translates as what? What is a command? It's a mitzvah. That's the answer to the question, what is a command? It's a mitzvah. Does that answer the question? This is teaching us that the other shorash is more accurate and that the shorash is not command. The second shorash is mem tzadi, which means attached. The letters that are left are the vav and the hey, which is a component of the Creator's name. Thus, the real meaning of mitzvah is attached to Hashem. There is another connection through the Hebrew letters using the Atbash method of letter substitution. The mem becomes a yud, and the tzadi becomes a hey. Thus, mitzvah becomes Hashem's name, Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh. The Kabbalah explains that when someone accepts a command from someone, even the Creator, they become an effect and lose the opportunity to be a cause. Being a cause is one explanation of the purpose of creation. Continuing to read. Upon hearing these words from my master and my teacher, I might have said goodbye. I really do not want to hear anything more. But my master had a reputation as a rabbi, a scholar, and a Kabbalist, so I stayed. He continued by reciting something I faintly recalled from the Talmud. The statement that what happened on Mount Sinai was the revelation of the Ten Utterances. Why, I wondered, would the Talmud use the word utterances? Most of the world considered the revelation on Mount Sinai to be the revelation of the Ten Commandments. Every moviegoer is familiar with the spectacular movie, The Ten Commandments, directed by Cecil B. DeMille. He literally immortalized the awareness of the revelation incident. Upon learning that the event on Mount Sinai involved not commandments, but utterances, however, I asked my master how such a misunderstanding had emerged. Why had this mistaken interpretation been permitted to stretch over thousands of years? The answer was shocking. After all my years in rabbinical study, my master's response was a complete deviation as to the methodology used in approaching the most important events in Scripture. My teacher explained to me that behind every misunderstanding that emerged from the significant event of revelation lay the sinister hand of the Satan, and it was his continued presence that permutated this gross distortion. The Satan places great emphasis on maintaining this mistaken misinterpretation. My master explained, the Satan was familiar with the time of revelation and with the ten utterances, but the true purpose of the revelation, said my master, could be summed up in one word, immortality. I am adding, this must be internalized. Immortality is the most important essence of the Torah. Every other energy and or essence that comes from the Torah pales in significance to immortality. One must reach certainty in immortality to manifest the true energy of the Esser Dibrot, or the Ten Utterances, as we will see. On Shavuot, we receive the energy of immortality, provided we have cleansed ourselves and connected to certainty during the period of the counting of the Omer. Recalling this crucial new understanding of the connection between Shavuot and immortality, Karen, Rabbi Berg's wife, and Rabbi Berg decided to establish this long-forgotten tenet that belonged to all mankind. The Mount Sinai Revelation Experience. We gave the attendees a mini-experience of immortality by guaranteeing them that by fulfilling the requirements outlined by the Zohar and Rabbi Isaac Luria, they could enjoy the next 4 months without fear of death. This concept was too much for many, including some who had taken formal classes at the center. This is an especially important understanding during this period, which we call the coronavirus. Continuing, many close friends of the center warned us that this guarantee was stretching our luck too far. But Karen and I were determined. If Kabbalah is indeed the solution and the salvation for all humankind, we are going to write it for all it's worth. The beauty of Kabbalah is that regardless of what one's religion may be, Kabbalistic teachings can rid life of chaos. My commentary. Throughout human history, one person's attitude that they are right and the other guy is wrong has led to wars and chaos. Even today, most religious Jews learn from their rabbis that the other religions are wrong and serve some form of idol. What Rabbi Berg is saying in the above statement, that even if someone is serving an idol, which would imply and manifest a chaotic effect, that will not happen if one stays up the night of Shavuot and studies the Torah. It is too long to explain this in this study. Later on Shavuot night, if one will remind me, we will explain it and how this actually works. The revelation of the utterances. The understanding of the true significance of what occurred on Mount Sinai is one of great import. Once you turn on this understanding, it increases the brightness, and more of the true meaning of this event is revealed. In order for the process of mortality to be reversed, every single one of the components must be prepared in order to realize the whole. Additionally, the process must occur in harmony with the cosmic calendar. Only in this way can the energy for immortality be released at the appropriate time with the right consciousness. Each and every year, the right moment comes around. This is the significance of the revelation. I am adding, this is the significance of the holiday of Shavuot. Yes, the immortality energy is present within the light. With the right meditations and the complete wisdom of Kabbalah, people are allowed to tap into the light's awesome energy, drawing it into their bodies, meeting its enemy, mortality energy. The light force is capable of completely eliminating mortality, as if it had never been there. Just as the light bulb eliminates darkness from a room when the switch is turned on. The removal of the mortality influence. The mortality influences go deep. Mortality at the time of the Garden of Eden penetrated to the genetic level. Two distinct stages are required for its removal. The first is for us to become prepared for the transformation. To cease doubts, we must leave our cynicism and our show-me egos behind and change over to certainty consciousness. And after this, we must allow ourselves to receive the radical metaphysical alteration that we undergo when we truly open ourselves to Kabbalah energy. We must of our own free will choose immortality. Read the above paragraph again and again until you own the desire to receive immortality. The Kabbalah and science, each in their own way and using its own vocabulary, are beginning to explain mortality as a gene and or space in that gene. The revelation at Mount Sinai each and every year returns our gene structure to what it was in Adam prior to the eating from the tree of knowledge good and evil. The mistake of Mount Sinai. When my master discusses the revelation on Mount Sinai, he said that soon the circumstances would appear in which I would receive my confirmation that immortality was real. I felt that he was referring to what Karen and I had established as the Mount Sinai revelation experience. By the late 1970s, these gatherings include scholars who were Kabbalah educated and initiated, although the conferences were open to all who could raise their consciousness to the level of the acceptance of immortality. Many of the established Jewish communities were opposed to linking this event to Shavuot. They asked that we redesignate the event as the giving of the 10 utterances, and that we omit the word immortality. When I indicated that this event was less my own idea, but instead embodied conclusions reached by the Zohar, the hostility became still more intense. However, I knew that there was no turning back, for the traditional methods of observance of this holiday ignored the Zohar. My master believed, and I believe, that dogmatic form of religion was never the intent of the revelation. Neither was the revelation intended as an event in which the Jewish people became a nation. The purpose of the revelation was instead to restore the universe to an orderly, structured nature. A world where the life force is law, as it existed before Adam. To any rational mind, this new approach was exactly what people wanted and needed. They wanted this interpretation of the revelation brought down the question that the master was asking, Rabbi Berg was asking. Why would this interpretation of the revelation bring down the terrible wrath of the Jewish establishment and hostility between Jews, only seen during the destructions of the temples? This is even more incomprehensible to me when I consider that immortality is a concept accepted within all major religions. My commentary. The various religions each have an agenda regarding immortality. None of these expected agendas have the idea that this immortality can come in a natural, normal, medical technology advancement. This may not happen this way, yet it may happen this way. This is the reason the major religious establishments do not accept the teachings of Kabbalah. They know immortality will happen. They just want it to be a miraculous sound and light show, and have that miraculous method occur. A natural, normal medical technology, or even a normal herbal path, is not acceptable to these people. Yet each one of us needs to make this choice for ourselves. Time travel. In our day-to-day lives, a strange paradox exists. Although people are consumed by death consciousness, they are at the same time engaged in an incredible denial of death. It's as if life and death have been reversed. For example, there is rarely an adult who has not been asked to purchase life insurance so as to provide for his or her dependent children in the event of the death of the provider. Ever the questioner, I have wondered, why do these insurance companies call this life insurance when its proper name should be death insurance, inasmuch as payment of this policy will occur only when the insured dies? But those who attend our celebration of the revelation on Mount Sinai are truly acquiring life insurance, a guarantee that they will survive for the next 3 or 4 months until the end of the Hebrew astrological year. For the present, this small taste of immortality is a pleasure to offer, just as before a large meal, one is offered a sample of the chef's talents in order to whet the appetite. In the 30 years that the center has been providing this Kabbalistic revelation experience, there has not been a single death among those who have attended in the four-month period immediately following the revelation experience. This is what the master had originally foreseen when he shared his vision of mini immortality. Little did Karen or I know whether that humble beginning would take us today. Thousands of people around the globe are reaping the benefits of the Master's prophecy. The idea that mini immortality was a virtual reality spread like wildfire. The notion that a time travel machine was available has even intrigued scientists. While the center's findings could not be verified by conventional scientific methods, this did not deter students from around the world from attending the Mount Sinai Revelation Experience. To achieve immortality, although only for 4 months, requires traveling back in time. Although the time machine has thus far been a part of science fiction, only and not of science, scientists have explained that if such a thing as a time machine ever existed, it would be as if time slowed down in actuality. While the years would go by in real time, we would not age. When we achieve permanent immortality, the close stops altogether for all time. Although the rational mind cannot grasp the concept of time slowing down or stopping permanently, the fact has already been established scientifically. The controversy that has surrounded our claims in this regard may be compared to the 19th century debate over air travel. Some claim that heavier-than-air machines would never remain aloft, yet pioneers persisted until airplanes became a reality. Time travel simply means that one can travel faster than the speed of light. Albert Einstein claimed that it was impossible to travel faster than the speed of light, because if one could, then there would be no past, no present, no future. Everything would be here and now. The present, time would stop. There would be no aging. Einstein never proved that one cannot travel faster than the speed of light. He merely reasoned that such a phenomenon would not exist. If it did, people could travel back in time. They would go back and stop upon reaching their vigorous youth. Einstein did not believe in time travel, simply because he did not see the theory in practice. He could not accept the theory of immortality because he could not personally witness this reality. Today, science has confirmed that particles exist that can travel faster and farther than the speed of light. Science is finally catching up with Kabbalah. Yet one of the obstacles that science must deal with is their uncertainty principle. How aptly titled. It demonstrated how far physics remains behind Kabbalah. For as we know, one of the prime causes of chaos is that the Satan has infused human consciousness with the principle of uncertainty. We must choose to change all of this. To achieve temporary or permanent immortality requires certainty. That the revelation on Mount Sinai will accomplish this long-sought-after reality. There is nothing to reality aside from consciousness. If in our minds we have doubts whether the revelation on Mount Sinai created immortality, then all Kabbalistic meditations and connections will not serve us in achieving immortality. This act of traveling back in time was detailed in the Zohar. On the night of the Kabbalistic revelation experience, all those who participate are provided with the methodology that assists them in connecting with the cosmos. It is this vital connection that embodies and permutates, perpetuates the energy of mini immortality. My commentary. The Kabbalistic technology is the 24 ground jewels from the Torah. If you do not yet know what this is, join a Kabbalistic study during the night of Shavuot. The switch for Sinai immortality. Rab Yehuda Brandwein teaches, this energy of immortality can always be accessed. The basis of our revelation experience is, of course, the implementation of my master's teachings. I will now finally return to his explanation of exactly how the switch for Sinai immortality can be turned on. When light is revealed within the universe, it is destined to remain forever. But the light remains potential, like electric current in the socket or the wall switch. When the appropriate stimulation, in Kabbalistic terminology, a proper vessel, is applied to the light force, the life force is reignited and revealed. Inasmuch as the life force of immortality on Mount Sinai had once become revealed, explained my master, this energy of immortality can always be accessed. Rabbi Luria, in his voluminous work, Gate of Meditations, provided the necessary vessel or switch for Sinai immortality. This procedure could not accomplish the revelation of immortality without it being applied at the appropriate cosmic time of the original revelation. The guidelines were included within the biblical code as deciphered by the Zohar. Eternal events are as cosmically scripted as are the appearance of the sun, moon, and all the other celestial entities. The constellation of Leo in the heavens does not... Excuse me. The constellation of Leo in the heavens does not make its appearance in the wintertime. Just as a sign of Capricorn will never appear in the heavens during the summer months. Glancing into the sky with a high-powered telescope reveals each sign of the zodiac configured with billions of stars, appearing at the usual time of the year. Just as a TV guide is necessary for the viewer to know the exact time of the showing of a favorite program, so too does the Bible disclose the exact calendar time when the cosmos is prepared to put out a particular program of events. The moment for the immortality event is the sixth day of the lunar month of Gemini. This is the opportunity for humankind to view and tap the energy of immortality. Let us continue this analogy with the television. Merely turning on the TV will not permit accessing the primetime news at 7 p.m. Our sets have the potential ability to provide primetime news. If I turn the set on at 6 or at 8, however, I will not see the primetime news, nor can the set access a particular program on anything other than the correct day and time. The appropriate time to tune into the awesome energy of immortality, my master said, is the evening of the sixth day of the lunar Gemini. This is the incredible information that only a Zohar can furnish. The entire evening up until and including the early morning must be devoted to accessing this unbelievable energy. The body must undergo deprivation. By implementing the codes for accessing immortality, provided in detail by Rabbi Isaac Luria, every person is guaranteed that he or she will not die for at least the next 4 months. When I heard these words, I had never heard anything like them before. All I could think was, it's too good to be true. When I shared this reaction with my master and asked if what he was saying had been proven or substantiated before in history, he answered, no, that will be your task. Rabbi Berg wrote a book. Immortality, the Inevitability of Eternal Life by Rabbi Berg, Rob Berg. The Peshat, simple, basic level of Torah. The first three words of the Esther Dibrot are Anochi Hashem Elohecha. I am God, your God. On a deeper level, we can translate this as I am Hashem, am your God. And this describes a unique relationship between each of us and Hashem. This describes the marriage taking place through the gift of the Torah. The remes, the hints. The word Anochi spelled Aleph Nun Kaf Yud hints to the essence of the Torah, since it is an anagram for the following. The Aleph is Ani, I. The Nun is Nafshi, my soul. The Kaf, Ketiv, is writing. And the Yud, Yavet, to you. The essence of the Torah is the soul of Hashem. Anochi is the anagram for Ani Nafshi Kativ Yavet. I am writing to you, my soul. There's another level of Torah called Drash, or allegorical. The same words that we use to recognize the marriage on Shavuot, we use to understand our response to the marriage proposal. The children of Israel answered, we will do and then we will learn. The Hebrew phrase is na'aseh b'nishma. The other nations were asked, even before the children of Israel, do you want the Torah and the mitzvot? They answered, what is a mitzvah? This is a very reasonable question. Each nation was given an answer that was the most difficult thing for them to do. Ishmael was told no adultery. This is the mitzvah. And they said, no, thank you. Edom was told no theft. And they said, no, thank you. All of the other nations were given an answer that was hard for them to do. The children of Israel heard a marriage proposal, and they answered yes. They didn't question it. They didn't ask, what is the mitzvah? They said, we will do, and then we will learn. The highest level of Torah is called Sod, the secrets. The word Anochi has a gematria of 81, which is the number 3 to the 4th power. 3 times 3 is 9. Times 3 is 27. Times 3 for the 4th time is 81. 3 represents a complete structure of right, left, and center, or in terms of science, a proton, an electron, and a neutron. For your information, a neutron is composed of a proton and an electron. The 4th power represents the 4 worlds of Atzilut, emanation, Bria, creation, Yetzirah, formation, and Asiya, action. 81 is also the gematria of the word Chazon, vision, or revelation. What was the revelation? It is the Kisei, the throne, Kaf Samach Aleph. Hashem's throne, which is a code word for the children of Israel, since Hashem, so to speak, sits upon the children of Israel while they do their spiritual work. For your information, Kisei also has a gematria of 81. The following is an extremely strong prayer and blessing. The prayer blessing may be said any time and any place. It may be said once or multiple times. It is truly auspicious during the Torah study of the night of Shavuot. It is written by a modern Kabbalist, and he did not explain all of its aspects. He left us to use it as a meditation tool when we are ready to do so. This prayer can be recited at any time in any number of repetitions. The more repetitions, the better. It is good to recite it on the night of Shavuot, when we celebrate the gift of the Torah. It can be recited at other times as well. This prayer is an original formulation in English, and I give my blessings, the author gives his blessings and permission for it to be translated for personal use into any language of one's choosing. I am adding, while it may be said in the language of your choice and needs to be understood internally, if said in Hebrew, it is best to say it in the original Hebrew. Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Creator of all, I give thanks before you that I am your creation, formed in your image and guided by your hand. May it be your will to open both my heart and my eyes and enable me to perceive your paths and how it is that you want me to live, to best receive your blessings and to best shine your holy light. May it be your will that you enlighten me and align me with the image of your holy Sephiroth within me. Teach me what I need to learn. Show me what I need to see. Help me to accomplish all the goals that you have ordained for me to fulfill in this lifetime. Master of the universe, behold, you are the source of all. All is in you, and you are in all. Enlighten me so that I may see and experience your unity. Enable me to live in harmony with your unity and to be guided by it and to flow within it at every moment and in every place. May I be a clear and receptive vehicle for reflecting your divine purpose. May your holy light shine through me in everything that I think, speak, feel, and do. Move through me and enable me to experience your holy presence within me. Ribono Shel Olam, you created your universe by the energies contained within vibrating sound. You spoke, and what you spoke came to be. May it be your will that I serve as the receptacle for your divine light, and by my reciting your holy names, may I reflect your divine light here upon earth. May your light shine and go forth to wherever it is needed and to wherever you desire. Udono shel olam, I thank you for revealing to us your sacred word and your special treasure of understanding that enables us mere mortals to make use of your sacred heavenly knowledge and power. I call upon your sacred name that is concealed in the words of blessings that you passed on to your servant Aaron, the brother of Moshe, through which you commanded him to bless the children of Israel in your name. As it is written, may Hashem Yohewahe bless you and protect you. May Hashem Yohewahe raise his face upon you and be gracious to you. May Hashem Yohewahe place his face upon you to be given to you. Shalom. These words come from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. They are written in the Torah. The right column. Berechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. The left column. Ya'er Adonai panav v'elecha v'ihuneka. The central column. Yisa Adonai panav v'elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. These verses, three verses, which are 15 words, which are 60 letters, form 23 letter sequences. Yo-hei-wa, be-yo-hei, re-a-pei, ka-shi-nu, ka-yo-yo, yo-ka-wa, hei-nu-wa, wa-hei-la, hei-yo-yo, wa-wa-ka, Yo-ka-wa, shi-yo-yo, me-la-shi, re-ya-me, ka-wa-la, yo-yo-ka, anu-shi, re-pe-la, yo-he-wa, he-wa-me. May this holy name shine your holy light here on earth and bring to us all peace. Behold, I call upon, shine forth the light of God, shower upon us the blessings of heavens, enlighten our eyes to know supernal knowledge, enable us to walk your paths and to do your will. Amen. 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 May it be so forever and evermore. Amen. This is the end of our class. We're a little bit over time. I hope you'll forgive that. If you're energy sensitive, you felt the energy. If you're not energy sensitive, Do not be ashamed and do not be worried. Follow the instructions. Does anyone have any questions? And while you're unmuting yourself to ask questions, I will remind you that there are two classes left today. At 3 o'clock West Coast time, we will have a class in advanced reincarnation. And at 7:30 or 4:30 West Coast time, we will count the Omer again for the first time once more. I remind you that Shavuot is Thursday night, and we will start our study at 7 p.m. West Coast time. Does anyone have any questions? Without questions, have a beautiful week, Shavuot Tov. Have a beautiful month, Chodesh Tov. Have a beautiful sense of peace and serenity. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom
Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom.